Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Federal Judge B. Lynn Windmill denies Attorney General Raul Labrador's motion to dismiss lawsuit against him for a legal opinion saying doctors are committing a felony by referring abortion patients out of the state of Idaho. Benjamin and McNeil still lead in three-way Pullman mayor's primary after more ballots counted this afternoon. Federal regulators have delayed vote on natural gas pipeline from Canada to California through Whitman County after pressure from environmental groups, and USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack dedicates Agriculture Service Plant Science Building at Washington State University at groundbreaking. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. But first, world headlines from Feature Story News, the Pacifica Radio Network, and the Public News Service. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A Moscow woman died in a head-on collision with a semi-truck about 2 miles north of Pullman on U.S. Highway 195 this morning. The Washington State Patrol reports 28-year-old Elizabeth Kahn died at the scene after the collision at 8:47 a.m. Kahn was driving north in a Nissan Sentra and was in the southbound lane attempting to pass. Kahn's Sentra hit the southbound semi-truck. The driver of the semi-truck was 51-year-old Simil Sinarlik of Suffolk, New York. Sinarlik and his passenger, Fari Kolak of Hoppage, New York, were not injured. The Assotin County Sheriff's Office says investigators found human remains in a house in rural Assotin County destroyed by fire late Saturday. The Sheriff's Office says an investigation is ongoing. The Lewiston Tribune reports the house at 5950 Grand Ronde Road was engulfed in flames when fire crews arrived at 11 p.m. Saturday. Investigators have not yet determined the cause of the fire. After another count of mail-in ballots this afternoon, the Whitman County Elections Office reports candidates for Pullman Mayor Francis Benjamin and Deb McNeil still have a wide lead in the top two primary. As of 3 p.m. this afternoon, Ward 2 City Councilmember Francis Benjamin has 1,640 votes and local teacher Deb McNeil has 1,011 votes. At-large City Councilmember Eileen McCall is in third place with 648 votes. Since Washington elections are mail-in and election departments accept ballots postmarked on Election Day, results are not final and could change as more votes arrive at the elections office. The top two vote-getters in Tuesday's primary will advance to the November general election. The winner in the November election will replace longtime Mayor Glenn Johnson, who is retiring after 20 years as mayor. The Spokane County Elections Office posted initial results in the five-way Spokane City mayor's race at 8:06 p.m. last night, showing as expected incumbent Mayor Nadine Woodward and former state Senate leader Lisa Brown with a wide lead over the other three candidates. Lisa Brown had 16,978 votes and Nadine Woodward had 14,023 votes. The candidate in third place is Tim Archer. He had 4,151 votes. Spokane County elections officials had planned another ballot count for 5 p.m. today. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has delayed a vote on a request from Calgary-based natural gas pipeline owner TC Energy to expand the pipeline's capacity between Canada and California. The Gas Transmission Northwest Express pipeline enters the U.S. in Boundary County and travels through Bonner and Kootenai counties in Idaho and Spokane, Whitman, and Walla Walla counties in Washington before terminating near the California state line in southern Oregon. The pipeline already sends billions of cubic feet of natural gas per day into the Northwest and California. Oregon's two U.S. senators, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, wrote the five-member commission the day before last Thursday's scheduled vote, urging them to vote no or delay the vote. Two dozen environmental groups also wrote to the commission. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission spokesperson Mary O'Driscoll said the commission has not rescheduled a vote as of yet. The commission's next meeting is September 21st. Wyden and Merkley, both Democrats, wrote in their letter, TC Energy has not demonstrated a true need for the expanded pipeline, and that increasing natural gas doesn't go against Oregon's climate goals. The Oregon Climate Protection Program requires greenhouse gas emissions in the state to decrease by 90% by 2050, with natural gas counting for at least 26% of that reduction. The senators wrote the Gas Transmission Northwest Express Pipeline is a significant fossil fuel expansion at a time when Oregon and Washington are moving away from fossil fuels. GTN Express is simply incompatible with the laws of the states of Oregon and Washington. At the same time, TC Energy has failed to show that there is adequate need for the GTN Express. State Attorneys General Ellen Rosenblum of Oregon, Rob Bonta of California, and Bob Ferguson of Washington have petitioned the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to deny the request from TC Energy, saying the expansion would mean the release of an additional 3.47 million metric tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere per year for the next 30 years. The Southern Oregon environmental group Rogue Climate opposes the pipeline expansion. Rogue Climate Advocacy Director Alessandra De La Torre wrote in an email, "Our communities have been loud and clear for months. We don't want or need another fossil fuel expansion. Now the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has more time to take opposition to this project seriously and shut down GTN Express once and for all." A spokesperson for TC Energy said the expansion has strong support in the region. The spokesperson said, "We remain firmly committed to advancing this critically important project and are confident it will be approved." The TC Energy website includes comments from Republican State Representative Greg Smith of Heppner, Oregon, and Republican U.S. Representative Lori Chavez de Remer supporting the project. You're tuned into KRFP Moscow. This is the KRFP Evening Report.
Programming on KRFP is supported in part by Idaho AFL-CIO, dedicated to representing the interests of working people at the state and local level.
KRFP is also sponsored by the Palouse Folklore Society, celebrating traditional music and dance on the Palouse since 1982. The Palouse Folklore Society sponsors concerts, jam sessions, and a monthly contra dance. Find out more at palousefolk.org or on Facebook.
KRFP is a non-commercial community radio station that airs underwriting messages as a cost-effective way to let listeners know your business supports community radio. To sign up for underwriting spots, go to the KRFP website or visit the station at 114 East 3rd Street in Moscow and pick up an underwriter's form.
According to a news release from the Pullman Planning Commission, developers have withdrawn their application to rezone land northwest of Kamiak Elementary School in Pullman from residential to industrial for a proposed rock quarry. The Daily News previously reported the Mader family had been trying to rezone the property since 2019 for the Mader Rock Quarry. The land is currently zoned for homes and subdivisions. The Pullman Planning Commission held a public hearing on the rezone application last week, and most residents who spoke were opposed to the proposed rock quarry, citing health hazards from dust, noise, increased traffic, flying rock, and the potential effects to the aquifer and nearby wells. Following the hearing, the Planning Commission recommended the Pullman City Council deny the request. The Mader family withdrew the rezone request Friday. The news release said, "Now that the rezone request is withdrawn, the city considers the matter closed and no further action will be taken." U.S. District Judge B. Lynn Windmill in Boise denied a motion from Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador's office yesterday to dismiss the lawsuit brought by Planned Parenthood, Great Northwest, Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, Kentucky, and Idaho physicians Caitlin Gustafson and Darren Weyrich. Just one day after issuing a preliminary injunction blocking Labrador's office from taking legal action against medical providers who refer patients across state lines for abortion care. Planned Parenthood Great Northwest and the two Idaho physicians had sued Labrador, saying he violated the First Amendment and due process laws and the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution with his March 27th legal opinion saying physician referrals for abortion care across state lines violate Idaho's anti-abortion law. Republican Representative Brent Crane of Nampa had requested the opinion on behalf of the anti-abortion clinic Stanton Healthcare. The opinion by Labrador said abortion pills are included in the state's full-term abortion ban and said health workers who supply them are subject to felony criminal penalties. Windmill granted a preliminary injunction preventing Labrador's office from taking legal action against providers in a 60-page opinion Monday. Judge Windmill gave both parties in the lawsuit 14 days to submit litigation and discovery plans for the next step in the lawsuit. The Daily News reports Labrador's office argued in their motion to dismiss the case. The March 27th opinion has since been withdrawn due to a procedural issue, so the case should be dismissed. The motion also argued the opinion was meant as private legal advice for only Representative Crane under attorney-client privilege, and it would not threaten medical providers. Planned Parenthood Great Northwest CEO Rebecca Gibran said of Labrador's appeal in an email, "He can't claim that he is taking back the contents of the letter with no legal commitment while also appealing the verdict of the case. The fact that he's appealing the verdict at all further proves that our lawsuit was necessary in the first place. He plans on going after our providers." Idaho Attorney General's Office Communications Director Beth Cahill wrote in an email, "In his 28-year career, you'd be hard-pressed to find a time when Judge Windmill has ruled against Planned Parenthood, so his decision is not surprising. Judge Windmill wants to restrain a power we don't possess. We strongly disagree with his order."
An Idaho law that bans interstate travel for abortion care to people under age 18 is facing legal challenges. This week, a federal judge barred Attorney General Raul Labrador from enforcing part of the law that stops medical providers from referring patients across state lines for care. Another injunction was also filed to stop the law this week. Wendy Hyped is with Legal Voice, one of the organizations behind the injunction. She says the law attempts to reach across state borders to stop people from getting care that is legal in other states.
It offends the right to travel, both travel within Idaho and travel across state lines, which you cannot restrict for Americans because you don't like what they're going to do. You can't tell them they can't drive somewhere because you don't like what they're driving to do.
Hyped says this is unconstitutional. She also contends that it violates the First Amendment and is too vague. Violators of the law currently face 2 to 5 years in prison. Backers of the law say it is meant to support parents' rights. Hyped says the law causes the most harm to marginalized communities.
I'm talking about people who are subjected to violence, people who are in unsafe homes, people who have to travel further and therefore will get care later in their pregnancies. And those people are further harmed by this law.
Legal Voice's challenge to the law has received support from 20 attorneys general, led by Bob Ferguson in Washington, who filed a friend of the court brief in the case on Tuesday. For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and other federal congressional and university leaders joined yesterday on the Washington State University campus in Pullman to participate in the groundbreaking of a new state-of-the-art Department of Agricultural Research Service Plant Sciences building. The building project has been in the works for years and is bolstered by nearly $125 million in federal funding. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is providing the planning, contracting, design, and construction oversight of the building, which is slated to open in 2025. The Daily News reports the building will be shared by members of the WSU Departments of Plant Pathology, Crop Soil Sciences, and Horticulture. The departments will share lab and office space with federal researchers with the goal of improving crops and reducing the effects of pests, diseases, and weeds on agriculture. The building will be located on the WSU campus across the street from Martin Stadium. Secretary Vilsack told those gathered yesterday to imagine the students and researchers in the building solving future agricultural problems, which could help millions of people. Vilsack said, imagine the spark, the passion, the energy, the excitement that occurs when the solution is discovered. That's what this facility is about. Vilsack said, assisting farmers and producers is essential because the food security they provide allows the rest of the population to pursue their hopes and dreams. He said, each one of us should be thankful at this groundbreaking for the science that will take place that will help those farmers, ranchers, and producers continue to be productive. Democratic U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington and Republican U.S. Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington attended the groundbreaking. Both Murray and McMorris Rogers spoke of the hard work it took to obtain funding for the building. Murray said she had been fundraising for the project for over a decade, which was delayed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Murray said, in Congress, just like in farming and research, good things often take patience and perseverance and persistence. McMorris Rogers said the work in the new building will help farmers overcome pressing challenges. She said, right now, farmers are faced with emerging and invasive diseases and pests, unpredictable weather patterns, and ever-changing markets. So that's why this facility is so important, and it's why we've all worked so hard to make it happen. Officers with Idaho Fish and Game killed a female black bear and its cub Monday after the female bear attacked a Victor, Idaho man. The Associated Press reports the man was at his home in the Henderson Canyon area near the southeastern Idaho town of Victor Monday when the bear attacked him after he opened his garage door. According to the Idaho Fish and Game Department website, the injured man then called Fish and Game officials to report the attack. Officials said on the website, wildlife officers tracked down the bear and cub and killed them in the interest of public safety. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area. Widespread haze after midnight tonight until Friday night. Otherwise, mostly clear tonight, low 50. Sunny, high 90 tomorrow. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight Thursday night. Widespread haze, mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy Friday, high 83. And widespread haze Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 56. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before noon on Saturday, partly sunny, high 85. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low 55. And a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday, mainly in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 77. Currently 88 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. You can also go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There, you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can also adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Kurt Morrison assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. We got an episode of Noise Filter coming up next, and that'll be followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. And at 7:30, we'll have Lockdown Mosh Pit live on the air. And at 8:30, Arlene's In with Grateful Dead Through the Decades. That goes till 10 o'clock, and then we'll have our weekly musical, What's the Frequency, Kenneth, on at 10. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.